Would you build a house without a foundation? Would you have a child and not name it? Would you let a stranger squat on your property? No, of course not. So why should the internet be any different? Every week, speak with top domain experts. Learn how to make money with domains. Know your legal rights. Each week, join our expert host to be master of your domain. Right here on Domain Masters.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Domain Masters. My guest tonight is Andrew Alamont from Domain Name Wire. This is another great news source for the domain name industry. We also have on Edmund Chong from .Asia. Jonathan Frakes will be interviewing him shortly after my interview. We're going to cover some of the great highlights of Domain Name Wire, how they got started, how Andrew got involved in the domain industry, and talk about a recent survey that was done. It was their third annual Domain Name Wire survey, which evaluated registrars, auction companies, escrow companies, and basically the folks in the companies that service the industry, and talk about some of the results from that, and talk to Andrew a lot about the industry and where he sees the industry going as a domainer and also as a media publisher for the industry. Jonathan is going to be speaking to Edmund Chong about .Asia, the successful pre-launch, sunrise, and also registration periods that have been going on so far, and we'll wind up the show with some information about the upcoming auctions that are coming up in the next couple months. With that, please stay tuned. We'll be back after a couple commercials. Back on with Andrew Alamont from Domain Name Wire. Thank you.
You're just minutes away from more Domain Masters.
The question is, are you still master of your domain?
Stay tuned.
How do you choose the right affiliate network to partner with? The answer is simple. MarketHealth.com, where health and wealth connect. Established in 1998 and formerly known as Joe Bucks, the MarketHealth.com affiliate network allows you to market and promote the world's leading health and beauty offers on the net. Start making recurring income and the highest payouts in our industry. Choose from over 50 of the hottest selling offers ranging from herbal supplements, skincare, vitamins, beauty products, weight loss, and much more. Sign up for free at MarketHealth.com and start making money today.
Okay, so you're telling me that if I put the Go currency converter on my site, all my international customers can see how much they're paying in their own currency?
Yeah, GoCurrency.com has free currency converters, language translations, international clocks, everything you need to do international business.
So how does it work?
Conversion elves.
Conversion elves?
Yeah, watch. Want to know what this will cost in euros? Check this out.
Listen up, elves. We got one. $34 US. I need that in euros. Now, people. We got it. Put it up there, elves.
Wow. Currency elves. Who knew?
GoCurrency.com. Free currency converters, language translations, and more. GoCurrency.com.
Can you believe how long it takes to order food here? Here we go. Excuse me.
She's not even looking over here.
Great service is hard to come by, whether you're sitting at a bar, restaurant, or creating effective search advertising campaigns.
Excuse me. I think we need to go somewhere else.
It's easy to feel forgotten, especially when your advertising budget is on the line. LookSmart serves up to 400 million queries a day with a side of the best customer service in the online advertising industry.
Hi, how are y'all doing today? What can I get you folks to eat?
You were right. This place is so much better.
LookSmart, premium and performance advertising solutions.
Open your windows for a breath of fresh air. Webmasterradio.fm.
And hey, Mac, we're here for you too.
Webmasterradio.fm. We're everywhere.
Now, back to Domain Masters.
So you're still master of your domain.
Yes. Master of my domain.
Here's your host.
Okay, welcome back to Domain Masters. My guest tonight is Andrew Alamont from Domain Name Wire. Domain Name Wire is a news source for domain name industry written by industry expert and edited by Andrew Alamont. Topics are relevant to the domain name owners, intellectual property attorneys, trademark lawyers, domain registrars, domain servers, and anyone interested in the domain name industry. Alamont is a resident of Austin, Texas, and has been in the domain industry since 1997. He has been quoted in the New York Times and Sydney Morning Herald, among others. Andrew, welcome to Domain Masters.
Thanks, Monty.
I believe this is your first Domain Masters, is that correct?
You know, I did one a long time ago, a couple years ago, so it's been a while.
Yeah, well, we'll have to have you on more often because your site's very relevant to the industry, and also you're a domainer and have obviously a lot of knowledge about what's been going on. So talk to us a little bit about Domain Name Wire and what's gone on this month in particular. First of all, tell me how you got involved in the Internet business to begin with and how you got into the domain name business.
Sure. Back in the late 90s, I was in college at the University of Texas and started to register domain names. Of course, back then it was $70 to register for a couple of years, and that was good beer money. So unfortunately, I didn't register nearly enough of them. But got involved back in the industry then, created some small websites and sold them just small amounts of money, but for a college student it was good. And, of course, this is before domain parking really caught on. Been involved in the industry throughout the decade, and in early 2005, a little over 3 years ago, started Domain Name Wire. At the time, there weren't any blogs covering the business of domain names, and I saw a gap there. Of course, there was an excellent news source and DN Journal, but there wasn't anything that really covered the daily news that was going on in trends. So started Domain Name Wire. It's been going full on for the past few years, of course growing to the point that I recently had to switch over to a dedicated server because my web host was getting frustrated with me. But over the past month, a lot of different stories going on, but the main focus on the site has been results from the third annual Domain Name Wire survey, as you mentioned in the introduction. And this survey, again, third year, and it covers everything from all the service providers in the industry to getting kind of a finger on the pulse of what domainers in general think is going on and what's going to go on over the coming year. And since I've been doing this for a few years now, it's really interesting to compare some of the data between the years and look for differences as this industry has matured.
That's great. So it looks like the whole industry has grown, and Domain Name Wire has grown along with it. And, you know, with that, you've been conducting annual surveys regarding the industry. Talk to us about the how the surveys got started and how you've published them and how you collect the results and what some of the results are of the most recent survey for the industry.
Sure. Well, as I said, this is the third year, and I had a record 841 people participate this year. In previous years, it's been closer to 400 or 500 people. I think there are a couple of reasons that that number is getting has increased. One is just the popularity of Domain Name Wire increasing, but secondly is the industry overall, as everyone knows, more and more people are getting into it thanks to a lot of the mainstream media. Every year when I release the results, I usually release them over time, over the period of a few weeks, in the form of different articles on the site. And this year, I also plan to disclose some of the results at the upcoming Traffic Conference in Orlando. So far, a few of the topics that have been disclosed are the best registrar in terms of people that think that X, Y, and Z registrars are best. And GoDaddy and Moniker came out on top on that. GoDaddy was the overall winner with a little over half of the vote. But when you look at domain registrants who have greater than 1,000 domain names, so really you're looking at some of the professional domain owners, Moniker and GoDaddy are pretty much 50-50 or tied for the vote. And then Enom, of course, is another popular one that received a number of votes. Now, one thing interesting that came up this year was that I always ask the question, you know, to rank the importance of the different factors people consider when choosing a domain registrar.
Right.
And the options they give are security of domains, price, value-added services such as web hosting, ease of transferring domains amongst people, account management tools, and customer service. Now, in previous years, price was the number one factor, but this year, security edged that out slightly. And I think that has to do with a number of different cases with domains being stolen, people losing domains, still a little bit of fear after the register fly fallout that's really pushed that, elevated that status. So now when people look at what registrar they want to choose, of course they have to be affordably priced, but if they don't have security, people will avoid that registrar and move on to someone else.
In terms of security, did you say which one ranked as the most important?
Security of domains.
Security of domains, okay.
Yes. and then price was second, and customer service third. And I think, you know, obviously most people wouldn't use a registrar if it had poor customer service, but if they have poor security and high prices, then people don't even consider the customer service aspect of it.
That's interesting. So, and this survey that you conducted was worldwide, too. I understand it came from a bunch of different countries, all kinds of different demographics.
That's right.
Explain more about that, why you think that so many people participated worldwide.
Well, I had people from 62 countries, and that was self-reported as people took the survey participate. It really shows that the industry is global. I think if you go on any domain forum, you find that although we in the United States tend to think centrically here, quoting all domain prices in U.S. dollars and such, the industry really is global. And I think a lot of that, there's really an interesting dynamic. This isn't something I touched on in the survey, but with the falling U.S. dollar and what that's doing to the industry as well, it's pulling in a lot of people who are participating and buying domains because suddenly the price of domain names, not only new registrations and buying existing domain names, although it seems like prices in both of those categories are increasing to us in the United States, people outside that have the euro, the pound, really pretty much any other currency are finding that they may be cheaper than ever, and they're getting into the industry in droves.
Yeah, that's true. Well, it definitely validates that we're in a global domain economy and a global domain market, and places like China and India and some of the third world countries are even getting on now in big droves and big time where they weren't just 5 years ago.
Exactly.
Particularly Russia and some of the third world countries that are now being connected all over the place. Now, you've released partial results, and I guess your strategy is pretty wise because you keep people coming back to the site, so it's a good idea not to release all the results at one time because you can get visitors, you know, every week when you're releasing a new survey result.
What's new out next? Well, I just released also a couple other things you'll find on the site, which is best parking services and what people's RPMs are right now with parking programs. And what's next is I'll be discussing how people view what they see happening to prices over the coming year. And I'll go ahead and spill that on your show. 75% of people say that they believe prices will be higher in 2008 than 2007. So obviously,
now is that registration prices or overall aftermarket domain prices?
Aftermarket prices. So
okay.
it seems that in general we're still bullish on prices. Now I should point out though, when I look back at previous years, everyone thought the prices would keep going up, and they have in aftermarket sale prices. We all know that wholesale prices will be going up, but. Also, people, when I asked what they thought would happen to the typical revenue from park domains, people also think that's either going to go up or hold steady. And they've said that for the past 3 years now in the survey, but this past year, the numbers I have show that people are reporting lower, poorer results with domain parking. And some anecdotal evidence, just talking to some of the major domain holders this year, it sounds like people are down about 10% in revenue. Now, of course, that's anecdotal, but when you look at everything that's going on in the parking industry, in particular Google and Yahoo and Microsoft being in flux, Google changing it, letting people opt out of domain parking, this whole Google-Yahoo potential partnership, the MSN or the Microsoft purchase of Yahoo, it really does put the domain parking industry in flux, and I think that'll be one of the big changes that we'll see over the coming year. Another question that will be released in the coming weeks is what people think are the biggest issues facing the domain industry. And one of the options was changes to the pay-per-click market, and that one did receive the most votes, the most responses as the number one change that we'll be facing over the coming year. Other topics that will be coming up will be people's satisfaction with ICANN, a couple new questions this year that I hadn't asked in the past, which is which major domain conference is best, and which person has the most influence on the domain industry. So all of those will be coming up, as well as what people voted as the top domain name news story of 2007. Some of the options there were domain values changing, .mobi, registerfly. It's hard to believe that's only been about a year since that whole debacle. And, of course, some of the attacks on the industry right now by outside groups like CADNA.
Yeah, for sure. Well, there's definitely going to be a lot of pressure on the domain industry in a number of areas, which is surprising if people are still bullish on aftermarket pricing because one doesn't go with the other. So, you know, if you think about it, if PPC rates are going to be hit due to pressures on the domain economy, and we're going to have increased litigation and trademark claims and other things or names that could possibly not be allowed to be registered and other things that are going on legally, that would, in a sense, equal to lower than expected aftermarket prices until things weed themselves out and maybe adjust back to the market. So I'm not as bullish, and I'm in the aftermarket and the primary market side of the business. But it's interesting to hear that the survey was overwhelmingly a majority that showed that or that people felt that prices would continue to increase. I hope that they did.
Yes. Well, and keep in mind it's somewhat self-selecting in that people that are gung-ho in this business that aren't as invested in it as someone like you who, you know, has a huge company behind it, now part of Oversee. You know, a lot of the smaller players in the industry that are just getting involved, they haven't seen what the industry's gone through over the past 24 months. They're getting in at this state. I think it'll be interesting on the aftermarket, Monty, in that I think what we're seeing is a lot of investors in the past were using parking revenue to buy new domain names, and I think we're seeing that fall off dramatically. If you look at the domain selling and live domain auctions and online recently, I think we're seeing a lot of those investors not bidding, and I think we're also seeing some of them turn around and try to sell the domains they just bought a year or two ago when they were flush with all this pay-per-click revenue. You also see that when people use leverage to buy those domains, financing them and such, if now they're not getting the pay-per-click revenue they anticipated, they may turn around and sell those. But I'm still bullish on one side, and that is if you look at supply and demand, so not on the very high-end domains, but if you look on supply and demand of domains in, say, the $2,000 to $10,000 range, which is whenever a company comes online, they need a domain name. And if you have a quality portfolio of mid-tier generic domains, I think you'll be okay. I just think you won't be selling out to investors like you may have in the past.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that. From the parking best parking company results, who were the winners there?
Cito won that one. You know, of course, Cito has 400,000 registered users, many of which use their parking service. And that includes both Cito and Cito Pro. I didn't break those out. In the first year, I broke those out and got a lot of complaints from people saying, well, it's really one or the other, right? It's still Cito. Name Drive came in second place there. And Parked was also high up on the list. Parked is an interesting case because, of course, they've been very popular, but a lot of people who are using their service were doing arbitrage. They were one of the few domain parking services allowed arbitrage. Yahoo nixed that through them a couple months ago, and now I think a lot of people are seeing decreased earnings, but they're still doing very well from both my portfolio and what people tell me on domestic travel. Of course, they're on a Yahoo feed. Cito is on a Google feed, and I think Cito has fared well this year because Google has done fewer things up until a couple weeks ago to affect their advertising stream. Now, just a couple weeks ago, as I'm sure most people are aware, Google started allowing advertisers to opt out of having their domains in the parking feed. Previously, that was virtually impossible to do unless you only chose to have your ad show up on the main Google site. And the reason is that ads in the domain channel come from both the search partners in AdWords and the content partners. So if you opted out of content, you may have still shown up on sites such as Domain Sponsor and Cito. So it'll be interesting to see how many advertisers opt out of domain parking. And from the ones I've been talking to and the ones that have been showing up vocally on Domain Name Wire, a lot of them are opting out. And I think there are a couple reasons for that. One is there's still, unfortunately, a lot of fraud in the domain parking channel. Yeah. And that is boosting up the acquisition prices that these knowledgeable advertisers are seeing. And you know, not only do they give me some numbers that show that there's a lot of fraud, but you can look anecdotally. I remember advertising a program on AdWords a couple years ago, and I had a tracking tool that was telling me where all the traffic was coming from. And a lot of it was coming from parked pages in Google's network that really should not have been receiving any traffic. These were long hyphenated domain names, no search engine history, et cetera, and suddenly I was getting 30 visitors from there in a day. And so, unfortunately, that is a... the case is there's a lot of fraud. I know when you were running Traffic Club, you guys dealt with that all the time, which was shutting down people trying to set up accounts. And you'll see that, of course, in Google AdSense as well, but there's another layer when it comes to parking. You have Google or Yahoo, then you have the third parties such as domain sponsors, Cito, NameDrive, Parked, and then you have the end user who may be committing fraud. I do think there are a lot of studies out there, of course, about if domain parking converts better than search, and a lot of these surveys and research study out there, people have been twisting it around to say that domain parking certainly converts better than search. I'm convinced that it can, but when you add in all the noise in the form of kind of fraudulent sites and poor converting sites, I don't think it is. And that's what the advertisers that have been showing me their data in response to some articles on Domain Name Wire recently are showing, that it's costing them significantly more to get a conversion through domain parking compared to just Google AdWords and even Google AdSense. So I think that's a major problem our industry faces, and it starts at home. We need to, as a collective, work to stomp out fraud. When we see people on domain forums that we know are committing fraud, using typo domains of trademarks, is really not to let that go on anymore, and tell them that we feel that they're hurting this industry.
Yeah, I agree with that as well. And I've been on a couple panels, especially at Search Engine Strategy Conference, in which I helped lead the panel discussion. And there was always a pro and con side about the value of direct navigation traffic and the ability to opt in and out of that traffic. And that whole process has evolved over time. The bottom line is companies like Domain Sponsor, which is owned by our parent Oversee, and other companies are now cleaning up and have been in the process for a long time, cleaning up the quality of traffic that comes in, because they're now not getting paid, obviously, for traffic that's not counted towards them. And when we did manage Traffic Club, it was a real pain, because one of our lead partners was Skenzo, which was a great partner to have. They were getting their data from Ask, who was then getting their data from Google, so it was kind of like the telephone game. No one knew exactly where the fraud traffic was coming from, so they just started wiping it, you know, as kind of in global units without much detail, and therefore we weren't getting paid, and they weren't getting paid for some of that traffic, so we had to go through and do all kinds of forensics on people's accounts. It was a lot of extra work and time and energy to do that. So,
well, luckily, when you look at Ask.com, I mean, that's a perfect example of being a fourth layer, you know, which is these companies. Parked was an example of one that had they use Yahoo, but they also use that Ask.com feed, which was effectively giving them a Google search feed. And so, as you're saying there's so many layers there that have to be cleaned up, and the lack of transparency there made it extremely difficult.
Yeah, definitely. So what else is going on at DomainWire besides the survey? I like the fact that when things are posted, then people are allowed to blog about it, and it continues an open dialogue and discussion about some of the topics. What are some of the other interesting things that you're doing there?
Well, a couple things recently. A couple months ago, added a feature such that if you're commenting, this is a WordPress-based blog, and if you leave a comment, you can check a box and you'll be notified whenever someone does make a follow-up comment, which really keeps things going. There's some posts you'll see in here that get 50 comments or so. And whenever I'm feeling down because I make a post that's not getting many comments, there a couple things I can write about that everyone will comment on. And in particular, if I write anything about .mobi, about 20 people will come out on either side of it saying either it's a great thing or it's not. Over the past month, too, I've been a little disappointed. The site's been moving a little slowly as far as server speed, so recently upgraded to a dedicated server, which should make things a lot more efficient. So one of the things I try to do with Domain Name Wire is not just post articles about articles other people have written. I don't think that adds a whole lot of value. So you'll see a lot of times I'll interview a PR person at one of the major companies. For example, when Network Solutions with the whole quote-unquote front-running issue came up, I talked to them about that. Shoppers.com, when that domain name was dropped and Poole caught it, even though it was a Network Solutions domain, I was able to get the scoop from Network Solutions on why that domain didn't go through NameJet, which for those that aren't aware, NameJet has an exclusive deal and is part owned by Network Solutions, so all those domains should go through there. So
yep.
Other than that, keeping up the status quo, but I think times are really exciting in the industry, and it's good to see, you know, the first year or two I was blogging, a couple domain name blogs popped up, and they usually disappeared when people realized it was a lot of work. And now there are a lot of them out there, which I think is great. There are a lot of interesting blogs that cover various niches in the industry, from geo domains to expired domains. There are a number of different niche-specific blogs within the domain name industry. So I'm really excited about the year that's coming up. I also think it's going to be full of challenges for all of us, and I'm excited to be covering that.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I know you're also a domainer. How many domain names do you have?
I have a fairly small portfolio, about 1,200 domains last time I checked. And, of course, I've been focusing a lot lately on quality as opposed to quantity, although I'm still registering domains as I see them, in particular geo-related domains. I've also been out buying with the plans to develop websites. And I know that everyone out there says that development is the next phase. You know, it always, I wouldn't consider it the next phase. It's always been the end game, right? And so a couple years ago, I acquired a name of a suburb here in Austin, a rather affluent one called Lakeway. It was a domain that a gentleman in Canada had registered back in 94 or 96 to use for his business. And I contacted him, explained that I wanted to use it to create a website for this community, and he sold it to me. And I'm also in the process right now, hopefully, in fact, I'll put the transfer order in today. I purchased another website, a financial-related website that I'd rather not give the domain name out for right now, that is an existing operating website. And so my goal here is to buy a website that makes money but is under-optimized in a number of ways. One, its look and feel. Two, how it's being monetized. And the third, kind of its search engine saturation. And improve that site to get a pretty quick return. So it's interesting. You'll find that, you know, a lot of times if you're buying a good domain name, someone wants 10x or 15x their annual revenue. When it comes to a full website, those multiples I've found to be quite a bit lower. And a lot of times it's someone who has put a bit of work into the site, but they don't want to continue putting that work in. And if you were to come along and offer them 2 to 3 times their annual AdSense earnings, they'd be willing to do it. In this particular case, I'm paying more than that, but I see a lot of opportunity with this site. And so my goal is to pay off my initial expense here in a year or two. Now, when it comes to developing a site as opposed to just parking it, obviously there's a lot more work. If you do it on a few different domains, though, you can get some kind of synergies going there. So, for example, for this one I'm buying right now, it's seriously lacking in the content it needs. So I'm hiring an intern from University of Texas here to write the content for me, which is something that the people that have developed websites should really consider. You know, I hear everyone outsourcing article writing and such to India, which I've done before with mixed results. But if you have a university or a college in town, it's a great opportunity to get affordable labor from people that are highly educated and are looking for good experience. You also need some level of web design. When I relaunch this site that I'm buying right now, It'll be a fairly simple relaunch. I'm not a web designer by any means, but I can get around a little bit in HTML. At some point, as the site takes off, I'll have to invest a few $1,000s in development. And then whenever it comes to a website, usually you'll see these monetized with AdSense, and that's a good starting point. However, I found that direct ad sales, once you get enough traffic, are the way to go on that. So there are a few different prongs to that, but I would say that I'm definitely moving toward finally developing some of these sites that I've been planning on developing and not relying on the resale and parking value.
That's great. Now, as a, you know, we already talked a little bit about what your surveyors, you know, the people that participated in your survey felt about the future of the domain industry. What are your personal thoughts being on both sides of the fence as a domain owner and also as someone who manages you know, one of the leading media sites for the Internet? What are some of the trends that you foresee in the next year to 5 years, good and bad, and concerns or opportunities that you see?
Well, there's an underlying problem that still plagues this industry, and that is, quite frankly, people don't like us. I know it sounds basic, but people that are not domain investors don't like domain investors. And, you know, it's kind of funny. There are a lot of reasons people don't like us. One that we always like to think is jealousy. Oh, you're jealous that you don't own all these multi-thousand, million-dollar domain names. But, you know, a lot of times people come up and say the Internet wasn't created for domain names or for domain name investing. And I like to turn that around and say, hey, you know, have you ever ordered anything off Amazon.com or used a site like Facebook? And when they say yes, I say, well, that's not what it was intended for originally either. I mean, this was an academic, the Internet was kind of envisioned as an academic and basic communication tool. But we also like to use this analogy about real estate, and I think it's an absolutely fair analogy, and that is, you know, there's lots of undeveloped land around whatever city you live in. It wouldn't be right just to go up to the person who hasn't developed it yet and say, hand it over, you're not using it, I'm going to build a house on it. You know, Lance Armstrong, the cyclist, used to own about 20 acres by my house, and you know, wouldn't have been right for me to go bike over to his house and or his non-existent house because he wasn't using it and say, you know, I'm just going to, you're not using this, I have a better use for it, so I'm going to start building a house here.
Right.
And what I found is I was recently interviewing someone at a car dealership who had filed really a very poor arbitration request for UDRP and lost. And when I was talking to that person, it dawned on me because he said, well, we feel that the public would be, their needs would be better serviced if we were using this domain name rather than the company that was using it as a parking page. So, you know, say that again. He said, we feel it's in the public's interest that we use this domain rather than having a parking page or a link farm, as he described it. And really, that's an attitude that a lot of people have. It's they just don't like us, and I don't know what you can do about that. But part of it, I think, is our fault. I mean, part of it is this. A lot of it is kind of typo squatting and such that gives the industry a bad name. Still, when you go on the major forums, you'll see people selling typo trademark typo domain names, and that certainly gives us a bad name. But what that all boils down to is if we don't get a hold of that, we're going to see more and more fights like this bill that's in Congress right now, the Snow Bill, that will, it's called the Anti-Phishing Bill. I know most of your listeners have heard of this, but effectively would give corporations a lot of control to go after any domain name that they think is similar to their domains.
Right.
And that would include, and at first it was, you know, kudos to the domain industry for coming out and speaking against it right away. Afterward, a lot of other organizations, including the Electronic Frontier Foundation, came out against it because they pointed out that the bill would allow a corporation to, for example, Walmart, to go after WalmartSucks.com and get that, even though that's protected free speech. So, you know, I'm not extremely concerned about the Snow Bill. What concerns me is that we're going to face an assault like that every year. every session we're going to see something like that. And it's not just going to be in Congress. It's going to be all sorts of corporate interests and people trying to take the main names. And I feel we're partly to blame on that. At the same time, it may not be too late for us to turn the table on that. And you alluded to that a little bit earlier, earlier in this conversation, which is aftermarket sale prices and people being concerned about losing those domains in the future and how that could suppress domain prices. And I think that's true. I think that people that are used to just buying and holding on to domains in a portfolio may find that they're seeing more UDRP arbitration requests. They're seeing more cease and desist letters with false claims in them. You know, I do think that's the biggest challenge our industry is going to face over the next 5 years. What we should do about it, I think it starts with domain parking and cleaning that up, which you mentioned the domain sponsor and others have been really pushing to clean up some of that traffic. I think it also comes down to PR as well, which is most of the PR you hear about domain owners is negative. You know, when the Virginia Tech massacre comes about and all of a sudden everyone's registering domain names related to that. Now, aren't professional domainers, by the way, that are registering domains related to Virginia Tech massacre and stuff. They're people that have heard about domaining and want to try to make a quick dollar. But it's the impression that people get about us. And most of the things you read in the paper about how so-and-so owns the name of a local company and such, and they knew about it. So I think those are things we need to fix. It was really just 2 or 3 years ago that most people are nonchalant about the typo domains. And it was like, okay, that's great. You know, there's no problem with that. I'll buy and sell those, and including some of the biggest players in the industry with over $100 million in money to invest. They were very nonchalant about it. Now, over the past 12 to 18 months, I've seen where, you know, domainers have been ridiculing other ones that own these trademark typo domains.
Right. And as we all know, anybody has the right to register any domain name. It's how you use it. You know, the big argument is, you know, you can't register a name that's a Coca-Cola trademark. Well, if you're a Coca-Cola distributor, you may have the right to actually do that and prove that you have a legitimate right to use it. But if you're selling competitive products like Pepsi products and you're using a Coca-Cola name, you're misleading a customer and misguiding them and have bad faith, and then you can have a domain name taken away from you. So although we have a lot of similarities to trademark law in the brick-and-mortar world, there are a lot of differences also in the domain world for what intellectual property means and domain names mean. So there's a big debate on that's going on. But you are correct.
There was an interesting case recently that I wrote about, ego.com. And this is something that when it comes to a trademark, there's a field of use that you file a trademark for. And, you know, Eggo, Kellogg's Eggo Waffles, you know, obviously that's a food field of use. And a gentleman had purchased the domain Eggo, EGGO.com, and he used it for his consulting business, which wasn't based in North America, by the way. And Eggo recently came after him and said, "You're infringing on our trademark." And the panel found that he wasn't. He had registered it not in bad faith, and he was using it for a legitimate business interest.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a perfect example. And a lot of domainers have been defending their rights and successfully defending their rights, I might add, on their ownership of certain names that also have double meanings. And obviously, you know about the reverse hijacking and also strong-arming domainers and other domain owners. Companies have been strong-arming by even the threat of a WIPO or legal suit just in an effort to try to win the domain name back kind of like in a stomping way. And a lot of that's being defended now as well. And we as a company, Moniker, protect a lot of famous corporate brands, including, you know, Marchex and NHL and Major League Baseball and Microsoft even and Yahoo and a lot of those inventories are here at Moniker. Yet we also protect a lot of the famous domainers that have domain names with double meanings and defend their rights every single day and protect their privacy and do that. And you have to draw the line on you know, the right position to take when you're managing that kind of thing. So
sure, absolutely.
Now, before I wind up, I understand, because you actually know about this from a lot of different angles, but you are involved in the intellectual property business and in general. Can you share or describe, you know, how large corporations look at domains as intellectual property, just from your experience and kind of some of the work you're doing, just briefly?
Sure. You know, I'd say I have some history working for a Fortune 50 company in their intellectual property department, not as a lawyer, but as a business development professional trying to find ways to monetize that. Most large companies now have created intellectual property departments that do have business development people in them, not just intellectual property lawyers and attorneys. But I think domain names, it's still really lagging at these companies and how they manage them. You always hear cases where a company will announce a new product and someone else has already registered the domain name. Famous example would be Apple with the iPhone. Of course, there was a trademark battle over that, but if they would have gone out and tried to purchase the domain iPhone.com before they announced their product from the existing owner, they probably could have gotten it for a lot less than they ultimately paid for it. So I think companies do a very poor job of managing their domains, but I am starting to talk to a couple Fortune 500s that realize they're sitting on 10,000 domain names, many of which they acquired or came as part of acquisitions, and they're trying to figure out what to do with them. A lot of these domains can also be category killer generic domain names, not just their own brand names. And I think you'll see occasionally, you know, we all know of domain name auctions, but I know I've actually run into some of your staff, Monty, at intellectual property auctions, which are similar in that they're patents and trademarks that are being auctioned off. And occasionally you'll see companies looking at brands that they have and auctioning that off with the domain names as well. So I think companies are putting a much greater emphasis on intellectual property because they realize intangibles are the core of their business. I still think we're a ways away from seeing them really focus on the domain name side of the business. And, you know, other than sending out cease and desist letters to people that they think are infringing on their names, they really haven't gotten a lot more sophisticated than that. A couple years ago, I was talking to an executive, the chief executive of an IP organization inside a Fortune 500 company, and they were going through a merger, and I asked that person if they had acquired all the domain names related to the new corporate entity because there was going to be a name change. And she, this is the chief executive of this organization, said to me, you know, I think that just sort of gets taken care of. Well, sure enough, I went a month later, and people had snapped up all those domain names related to the new entity, which is really a shame because for a couple hundred dollars, they could have gotten their hands on all of those before other people thought to do so. I do think that soon Fortune 500s will understand the value of what they're holding and the value of domain names. It's just still a slow process. I know since you work with and have worked with large companies, Monty, you know how it's a slow-moving process.
Yes, it sure is. Yeah, well, I mean, that's, you know, I think a lot of companies are waking up, and some of the companies which I mentioned before are actually starting to be on the forefront of this, and not only protecting their rights, but in stealth going out and acquiring the property they should have acquired years and years ago on that, mm-hmm. So...
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I think that's something that's actually going to help the industry long term because there's going to be a lot more corporations coming online protecting their brands and realizing that they should be protecting their brands in every misspelling and several extensions, and if they do global business in multiple extensions across the world and the country codes and those areas. So where we might see a fall in business because of some of the new rules and the price increases and registrations, I think we'll see a makeup of a lot of the business through a lot of the countries and regions getting on to not only internet but high-speed broadband internet access
right.
that they didn't have before that's free and readily available to them. For instance, I heard that Kenya, for example, is putting free broadband wireless internet access in every major city on street corners, trying to get their country caught up in the 21st century so that it will invite businesses and corporations to start looking at them as an area to maybe relocate or employ workers. Now, of course, they have to get rid of some of the civil war and some of the other things that are happening there. But at least
minor
it's a step
details.
In Yeah, at least it's a step in the right direction, right? So,
right.
And of course, China as a country, as a huge country, has learned a lot from its acquisition of Hong Kong and how wired and online that particular area or region is for its particular part of the country, and has basically left that part of the country alone as if it's still owned and operated by Britain. And
right.
So there's lots of examples of that all over the world. So I think we're going to see a big increase in influx of business as a result of that, not only in the primary markets of registration, but also in the aftermarkets. And due to the strength of the European dollar and other foreign currencies compared to the dollar, we're going to see a lot of foreign investment and acquisitions and, maybe two or three years of catch-up now of where they've been kind of sitting on the sidelines and not really understanding the value of domain names. I think they're seeing it more and more, and now their dollar's stronger. They can get it for half price.
Yep, absolutely. So, well, we'll hope that those forces, supply and demand, can outweigh the legal issues and such and parking problems that this industry is facing and keep it moving in the right direction.
Now, I understand that you deal with a lot of corporations outside the domain industry, I assume, because of the intellectual property, but I also understand that you have a lot of funny anecdotes. Can you share a couple?
Yeah, I think I've some of them are probably more sad than funny that I've given today, which is really just with the corporations, people inside being clueless when it comes to domain names during a merger. And, I'd given that example also of the car dealer who felt it was in really the best interests of the public that they own the domain name. And I really look at those as less funny and a little bit more on the sad side, but it shows how there's a lack of understanding about the domain business in general.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Andrew, we really appreciate your time tonight. It was great having you on the show. You've given us a lot of insight about the industry and your own personal experience, and the survey is a good indicator about what's going on in the industry, and what the people vote definitely counts. And I'm proud that our company has honorable mention and have won some of your awards, or at least be ranked in the top couple in several areas, and look forward to contributing and helping contribute to the industry so we can keep making news for you. And I know that your news source is a unique spin on what's going on and also a unique approach, and it's very good. So we recommend it all the time, along with DN Journal and some of the other sites that have valuable content for everybody, and it really helps educate not only the novice but the professional domainer.
Thanks, Monty. Appreciate it.
Yeah, love to have you on the show again. So thanks a lot, Andrew. Appreciate it.
Okay, take care.
Okay,
bye.
Take care. Well, thanks again to my guest, Andrew Alamon, from Domain Name Wire. I encourage everybody to go visit that site, make it one of your favorites, along with some of the other media sites that we mentioned. Also wanted to announce that the traffic domain auction in Orlando is starting to gear up. We are getting the teaser list ready to go, and it will be out and posted this week, along with the formal list of domain names that will be available for auction by the end of next week. And so you can go to moniker.com to find out more information about buying in that auction. The submission deadline was done weeks ago, but we have 12 other auctions scheduled for this year, and you have opportunity to submit your names for any of the auctions that are relevant. And we'll be bringing that auction live again at Traffic. We're going to have a no reserve and low reserve auction the first night, and then the premium domain auction on the last night of the event, like we always do. And shortly thereafter in June, we'll have the Domainer Meeting auction, which will be in Paris, France, and it'll be part of or precursor to the ICANN meeting that'll be there. So we're going to actually bring the international community in for buying and selling domain names prior to the ICANN event. That's going to be on June the 19th. We have several auctions scheduled throughout the summer and also through the fall and the rest of the year, including a traffic auction in New York and one in Australia, and our casino affiliate conference, which will be in Macau, China again. So lots of different auctions coming throughout the end of the year. With that said, I'm going to turn it over to Jonathan Frakes, who's now going to do an interview with Edmund Chung from .Asia. He's going to talk about the success of the .Asia land rush and launch, and some of the information that will be relevant to you if you're considering to do business in Asia and some of the domain names there. With that said, I'll let you go and turn it over to Jonathan. Be the master of your domain name, and be with you next week with another live show. Thank you.
You're just minutes away from more Domain Masters.
The question is, are you still master of your domain?
Stay tuned.
Hello, welcome to our website.
Website traffic isn't about paying for clicks.
Okay, so I guess we're going to wait until everyone shows up and then we'll...
It's about having the right content. So while you're searching for more traffic, the folks at InfoSearch Media are creating the content people are searching for. With InfoSearch Media, you can get more traffic for less money than PPC. So the next time you need to speak to your customers...
Welcome to our website.
They're already searching for you. InfoSearch Media. Get content that really clicks.
Hey, this is Danny Sullivan from the Daily Searchcast. You know, we love bringing you the news every day, and that's made possible by the sponsorship of BruceClay.com. They've just made Inc. Magazine's list of the fastest growing private businesses. They've exhibited and sponsored at my conferences from the very beginning. Bruce has got that long-standing search engine relationship chart, had been out there with the code of ethics, been a search engine expert in the field for ages. But did you know that Bruce Clay can do more than help you with just SEO? They can do PPC, web analytics, web design, marketing strategy, promotion, and branding. Everything you need for success in the online marketplace, you can check it out from the professionals at Bruce Clay Incorporated. For over 10 years, offices worldwide, they've got answers you need. Check them out today at BruceClay.com.
Bruce Clay Incorporated.
A rose by any other name would still be the same.
Move over, Shakespeare. You need to differentiate yourself from your competition. Do it by aligning yourself with a company who has earned the trust of Jupiter Media, the NHL, and Lionsgate Films, among others. Moniker.com is the most secure ICANN-accredited register on the planet, offering you domain registration, hosting, domain sales, and acquisition services. Wrap that up with 24/7 support. That's your winning combination, MONIKER.com. More than a name.
Domain Masters.
I am the master of my domain. Ask my wife.
Domain Masters.
Live broadcast Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. Or on demand anytime inside the Internet Marketing Channel. Only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
Want a hot pod? Load it with WebmasterRadio.fm and play with us all day long.
WebmasterRadio.fm. We're everywhere.
Domain Masters.
So you're still master of your domain.
Yes. Master of my domain.
Here's your host.
Welcome back from the break, and thank you for handing it over, Monty. This is Jonathan Frakes talking to you live on Domain Masters, where you can be the master of your domain. And we were hoping to connect on Edmond Chong this week from Beijing, China, where he's at a WWW standards conference. Unfortunately, due to timing and technical issues, it's 12 hours off. We missed Edmond, so he had to speak today. But we're going to just a real quick update that I got from the folks at .asia on the .asia top level domain, and hopefully we'll be able to connect with Edmond for a future session. We've got some information about the Celebrity Pioneer Program. There's a significant group of celebrity pioneers who had signed up in the early stages of .asia. You can get all this information at think.asia, T-H-I-N-K.asia. But they've got a significant group of people there. There's also somewhere in the vicinity of a half million .asia domain names registered in and around the land rush timing. And we've got some interesting statistics. The top five registrars during the go live session have been Mesh Digital, EuroDNS, GoDaddy, DirectDI, and of course one of our favorites, Moniker Online Services, as top registrars. .asia domains are very strong among Chinese registrants in order of geography, followed by Australian, New Zealand, Indian, Korean, and then U.S. and Japan are also among the top 10 countries that have been registering .asia domain names. Going through, looking at the Pioneer program, I'm just looking at some statistics here from the .asia registry that have just been sent over. We have some great information from the folks at .asia about game.asia being an example, a domain that has a very popular use. And we're also looking at some other information. Was hoping to hit Edmund with some tough questions to let us know about the geography aspects. But apparently, as long as a person meets the geographic requirements, they are able to register a .asia domain name. And it's important to note that any of the registrars can help you. Moniker Online is one of those that seems to be stronger at this. And there's some interesting websites out there as examples from the celebrity program. Oddly enough, one of them is Bjorn Borg, the famous tennis star, bjornborg.asia, has a fantastic website. They're actually doing a lot of specific content for the .asia extension. Also, one of the other very interesting websites is Keep Walking. That's keepwalking.asia. Another good example of some of the folks that are doing interesting things with websites in the .asia extension. Well, we hope to connect with Edmond. We'll keep trying with him to catch up because we want to see a little bit more about what's going on. I do look over at the registry.asia website for more information constantly, and it looks like there are auction domains that are taking very good prices. I'm seeing .asia domain names fetching in and around $20,000, and I think we're going to see quite a few higher ticket items as the land rush auctions continue starting this week into the following weeks. We're going to see some bigger ticket items coming through. Just another quick update on the TLD front. The folks at .mobi have been roaming the country doing local sort of small domainer gatherings at in various cities. I think the next one's coming up in Boca. Following up on that, you can find out more information at blog.mobi, blog.mobi. And this is Jonathan Frakes this week signing off for Webmaster Radio, where you can be the master of your domain. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you.